So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Time to play the game! It's all about the game, and how you play it. All about control, if you can take it. All about your stand, if you can play it. It's all about pain,
and who's gonna make it?
I am the game, you don't wanna play me.
I am control,
no way you can shake me.
I am heavy debt,
no way you can pay me.
I am the pain,
and I know you can't take me.
Look over your shoulder, ready to run, like a crazy thing from a smoking gun.
I am the game,
and I make the rules.
So move on out,
you can die like a fool.
Try to figure out what my mood's gonna be.
Come on over, circle, why don't you ask me?
Don't you forget there's a price you can pay.
Cause I am the game and I want to play.
Network right here at BTR, home of LouisvillePolitics.com. And man, I tell you what, we are busy, busy, busy. I don't think there's any other way to put it. There are so many things going on. It just defies logic as to thinking that we could even keep up with it. I mean, it's that crazy here, folks. It's that crazy, especially here in Louisville, Kentucky, and Democratic politics. As you guys know, I've been outing, making the connection for you, if you will, to the Louisville Democratic players here locally, here in Louisville, and we're taking it all the way to John Yarmuth. There is a disturbing, disturbing picture that has evolved with most of these guys, and I tell you, it's enough to make you sick at your stomach. And the next three parts of the series that are already currently written will outline a lot of that. Just stick to it. Make sure you stay with LouisvillePolitics.com to check for all the latest, because I tell you what, we're getting into a situation now where we apparently have, and I know this is going to sound not PC, but I'm not a PC kind of a guy. I know this is going to make a lot of people angry, especially in the gay community. But what we apparently have here is an underground gay sexual pedophile club that alarmingly include so many people that are elected or their assistants who are involved in this game. So when we play the game, folks, it's not fun and games anymore. Kids are being hurt. These people are going to pay the price for it, and we'll get into that going forward. Make sure you check out LouisvillePolitics.com. Join our RSS feed as well, because we will get the information to you. Join the RSS feed for everything we've got, and you won't be disappointed, I promise you. In the meantime, welcome, Mr. Martin. How are you, sir? Edward. Well, apparently we've got Mr. Martin on the line somewhere, but we can't hear him. So we will figure that one out in just a second. There he is. I heard, damn it, what'd you do?
I have no idea.
Are you sure? Okay. You sure? You got one of those touchscreen phones, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if your chin didn't accidentally hit mute on your phone. I heard damn it, and then you were there. Worked for me, by the way.
Well, I don't know. I think it could just be my magnetic personality. You know, I have to put it back in the armor case if I touch the outside of the phone with my bare hand. You know, I shut it down.
Well, we talked about that one too. But you know, and you do have a magnetic personality, by God. By the way, for our listeners who don't know, nothing on this show is ever scripted. It's never scripted. I don't talk with Ed Martin before any show. Ed Martin doesn't know what we're going to talk about until he literally gets on air and hears me. The same with Dale the Truth on Wednesday night. Dale doesn't script his shows with anybody, neither does Ken Moman. We did this intentionally because we want good, honest dialogue. So, and there's a reason I'm telling you this, and there's a reason Ed's got to listen to this crap. So I don't see Ed Martin all the time. I don't get a chance to see Ed that much. Since we quit doing actual in-studio work at Clear Channel and everything else, we're doing everything this way. We really don't get a chance to see each other personally. But I got to view that magnetic personality on Friday night, didn't I, Ed?
Oh, yeah. I was hugging everybody.
Making
jokes about it, too.
Oh, I know. It was hilarious watching some of the looks on people's faces. Ed is a big guy, folks, but he's a teddy bear. I'm a big guy, not quite as tall as Ed, but I'm a teddy bear, too. And I know it's hard for you guys to believe because of all the hard-hitting stuff we do, but we really are, and we're both people person. And there's not a person in this world that I wouldn't hug or initially try to hug first. It has absolutely nothing to do with sexuality. It's just, you know, that camaraderie thing. Well, it's the same way. And we went to the Lincoln Day dinner on Friday night, put on by the Jefferson County GOP. Mitch McConnell was there to speak, Tom Massey, Jamie Comer, and a whole host of others. And before I go any further with that, I do want to say, Shelley May, you did a hell of a good job, young lady. Very, very proud of you. But for those that know me, these aren't the events. I don't do these events. I don't like these events. But my good friend, Mr. Martin, invited me to go with him and his lovely family. And hi to Leah and Megan, by the way. And so we went Friday night. But it was amazing watching these people. Ed would go give them a handshake or maybe try to go hug somebody. And man, their eyes were like, oh, my God, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? It was hilarious, Ed. It really was.
Oh, no. I'm being hugged.
Yeah. It's like these people are scared of contact. I guess they don't mind getting caught by a reporter having affairs and other things, you know, but, you know, in a nice, cordial setting. But it was pretty interesting because, I tell you, I really want to talk about that for a minute before we move too far. I don't normally do the political event thing because I personally know that every politician is a hypocrite or full of garbage. And I just got better things to do. I would rather report on them than to come home and take a shower for 2 hours to try to get what I perceive the dirt off of me to be. And it doesn't matter what party you're in. I just haven't found many elected officials that I feel comfortable are doing the right thing. So imagine my shock on Friday night when me and Mr. Martin go to this thing and I meet Jamie Comer and Tom Massey for the first time. And I've got to tell you, folks, in my mind at this time, these guys are the real deal. What do you think, Ed?
Well, I like Comer, but I tell you what, I really like Thomas Massey. Me and my wife got to talking to him, and just to hear the way he talks about politics and D.C. and the culture, it was just, when he walked away, me and my wife looked at each other and was like, did he really, he really does not appreciate the dysfunction. I mean, he's an elected congressman, but we're like, he really doesn't like the dysfunction, at least that's what the impression you're left with. I mean, so approachable. I mean, he's not a especially Massey, not a
right.
Shred of arrogance to him. I mean, he was just, he's just happy to be there. I think in some cases he was happy just to be talking to two people and not a room full of people. He just, you're talking to him, he is talking to you. He doesn't look at you like, hey, I got somewhere to go. He's just. I'm really, really impressed with Massey. He's a machine, man. When you hear about his schedule and stuff, you're thinking, he's not going to get too warm and fuzzy because the guy is in high gear all the time.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I tell you, but, Massey seems to be more outspoken, if you will, which to me made him, I guess, look more down to earth, because Massey doesn't care clearly who he's talking to. He's going to tell you what he thinks. He's going to tell you the truth as he sees it, you know, which is describing the dysfunction and everything else you're talking about. Jamie Comer is a bit more reserved. But, you know, you're talking about two different class politicians here. Jamie Comer has to be a little bit more reserved because he's a Kentucky politician. He's not a federal politician. He's not a national stage. Tom Massey, yeah, however, you know, has a lot more authority and a lot more power and a lot more eyes on him than Jamie Comer does. But Jamie Comer was very impressive as well as his own right. I talked to him for about 15 minutes. And, you know, I did a rare thing. I actually gave him a card and he gave me his, which is something that don't happen at these events. But I was very impressed with him. And Tom Massey, you're right. I don't know how he keeps up with the schedule he's got. I really don't. He is a bulldog. I mean, I don't see how I keep up with my own schedule half the time. You know, this is a 24-hour day deal when you do what we do, and I'm doing it on a full-time basis. I mean, I am the research machine for this whole project. But Massey, man, I tell you what, this guy doesn't stop. He's from one corner to the other in 2.3 minutes. You know what? I was really impressed by both of these guys. If Comer decides to stay with Kentucky politics and shoot for governor, this guy should have one hell of a future. And Tom Massey, he's already got a future. If he just continues what he's doing in Washington right now and continues keeping that down-home quality that he's got, Kentucky's in good hands for the future. I firmly believe that. I really do.
I
was very impressed, and thank you to my friend Ed Martin for inviting me to come along and tag along. You know, your daughter, again, is another case. You know, Megan, I got to mention Megan. I know she's going to hear this show. You posted a picture of her with her mean look. Folks, that mean look isn't doing her justice at all. She's a lot meaner in person if she wants to be. So, but she is a sweetheart.
She's a lot more pleasant when she's cutting at her ribbons. She'll
smile
and flip her hair and touch her ribbons and flip her hair again.
She knew how to get through that crowd too, man. She knew how to play it. She did very well. And she was she's a remarkable young lady. And your wife Leah, of course, is a doll as well. Great family. But you know what? We got to move on to business, man. We got a lot of things going on. We're going to go ahead and cover Louisville to start. And I tell you why. One of the biggest stories. We got a couple of stories that came out late last week that we couldn't get to because our show wasn't on Thursday and Friday as usual. Barbara Shanklin is now, her attorney is now crying because he's basically been cut off from the taxpayer dime. Aubrey Williams, who is representing Barbara Shanklin, Louisville Metro Council Barbara Shanklin, is now whining because taxpayer money will not be used. He's not going to be paid with our money to appeal her case. So he's out there saying, you know, yeah, he's out there crying, saying that, you know, since he's not going to get paid from the taxpayers, he's going to have to be forced to drop Shanklin as a client and all this other crap, blaming the city for trying to squirm out of its obligations to Barbara Shanklin, all this garbage. Well, the reality is, folks, this guy has already been paid $80,000 so far to represent Shanklin. He's got other money still owed to him. By the time it's all said and done, remember, in the entire Judy Greene case, we spent about $110,000. That was on plaintiff and defense during the whole ethics case. It did not involve an appeal, so we didn't have to worry about that money. This guy was going to make almost that on his own. And most of that could have been avoided if he would have just went ahead and let Barbara Shanklin testify as she should have done in front of the ethics committee instead of dragging the hearings on for as long as he did. And he only did that to pad his pocket. That's Aubrey Williams. But now he's trying to say we're squirming out of our obligations, and he's going to be forced to drop Shanklin because she can't pay him. What do you think about that?
Well, I think first and foremost, he lost. She lost. So, you know, I don't think he's probably not worth what he's getting paid. Secondly, again, free market. I mean, if Barbara thinks he's worth what he demands to be paid, then she can pay him. You do it. I do it. Everybody else is not on the public's dime. I mean, if you think your attorney is worth a certain amount of money, then you pay them. I mean, that doesn't matter whether they're, you know, an ambulance chaser that's working on a commission or whether you've just got somebody on retainer. If they're worth it, you pay them. So,
well,
I mean, I see he lost, she lost.
Right.
And now she's basically saying, I don't think, you know, and I think it's really between him and Barbara, which, yeah, I guess he doesn't want to come out and say that, but I guess in so many words, she's, you know, she has declined to pay him or won't pay him, so she doesn't think he's worth it. So, hey, if Barbara doesn't think he's worth it, I don't think he's worth it either.
Well, and I totally agree with you, and, you know, it really doesn't matter at this point. You know, one of the things that I thought about, and by the way, the ethics bill that Larry Clark was trying to get passed in Kentucky in this session failed. It passed the House, where he was trying to make anybody who brings up ethics charges actually pay for the plaintiffs, you know, which would just totally defeat the whole purpose of having an ethics commission. But the Senate, it stalled in the Senate, and they never moved it forward, so it is not law. But here's the deal. Currently, if there's ethics charges brought up, for one thing, I don't understand the county attorney's office hiring outside help anyway. The $80,000 plus that they've spent on Aubrey Williams to date, to me, is wasted taxpayer money. Not because Barbara Shanklin was found guilty or innocent, but because the county attorney's office repeatedly has said publicly that they are responsible to represent the Metro Council. These county attorneys are already on the payroll of city government. We pay them. Part of their duties and responsibilities is to represent Metro Council members. So if Barbara Shanklin, like Judy Green before her, has Metro Ethics Commission charges against her, it is the county attorney's obligation to represent them. There is not a conflict of interest here, and there's no reason to pay an outside attorney. So this is just another way you reward friends. And believe me, Aubrey Williams is a friend of the Democrats, okay? But once that is initially done, if we're going to go down this road, that's fine. But once that is initially done, the charges have been made, the case has been heard, that's the extent of it. But here's how smart Aubrey Williams is. And I've got to give Mike O'Connell credit here, as much as I hate to, because he's going to have a problem with me in the very near future. But here's what's going on. Aubrey Williams, to represent Barbara Shanklin, has to sign a contract with the county attorney's office in the city to represent her. Okay? According to that contract, Aubrey Williams was only going to get paid. It says that he will only be paid through work before the Metro Ethics Commission. Once that work before the Metro Ethics Commission is done, his contract is expired. So his contract specified that he was going to only do the work before the Metro Ethics Commission. Aubrey Williams signed that contract. How many attorneys sign a contract without knowing what the hell they're signing? So he knew he was only going to get paid before the Metro Ethics Commission. He did everything he could to set up this appeal for Barbara Shanklin during the Metro Ethics Commission investigation, and now he's whining because he wants to get paid more money that he's not entitled to, and he's knowingly not entitled to, and he's trying to sell this to the public like his poor client is getting abused. And we wonder about if she had quality legal representation. Oh, I think that's a clear-cut sign, don't you?
Well, yeah. I mean, like I said, if he's trying to, it's also an insult to the public. I mean, if he's trying to play this out in the court of public opinion, then for God's sake, I hope the media is on the ball enough to replay the hearings when he just took it. Barbara Shanklin and said, "Get up and leave."
Oh yeah.
Don't say a word. Get up and leave. I mean, people. That's what we're paying. That's what we paid for, okay? We didn't get anything done. You know, his representative, he might as well have not participated. It was all done on other circumstantial evidence because, I mean, she just got up and walked out like Deputy Donald. Kind of what she looked
like
on her way
out.
And I just, like I say, that's what we paid $80,000 for? Wow.
Well, that's it. And every time that he did that, he cost us more money because every time he did that, they continued on without her for a little while, but then they would have to set yet another date for her to come back to continue with it. She had to come back. So, again, this adds more expenses. You take the whole ethics commission. I mean, even these guys aren't paid by the hour. They're not paid $60,000, $70,000 a year from city government to do this job. You know, they get paid X amount of dollars, which is dirt cheap, $50-$100 kind of deal. So, you know, these guys are essentially volunteers. They're just getting gas money back for being there. And he kept doing this, which forced these guys to stay away from their jobs and everything to come in here to listen to this farce that he wanted to call a trial. This is vintage Aubrey Williams, from what I understand through other people and from what I can see publicly on anything public on him. He's not impressive to me at all, but he's connected. He gets paid. As long as he gets paid, the world's happy. And that's what happened here. So, Barbara Shanklin definitely was guilty, should have been found guilty. She'll lose her case on appeal. There's no doubt in my mind about it if she decides to go ahead and pay for attorney fees. But Aubrey Williams sitting here saying that, they're just trying to make me drop my client because they're trying to stiff me on their obligation to her. No, our obligation was to make sure that she got proper representation before the Ethics Commission. If she doesn't like the decision, we're not going to pay for this to go all the way to the Supreme Court just to make you happy. Let her pay for it. She was found guilty. It's her responsibility now. So I thought that was interesting. Another good local story, good friend of ours. Yeah, right. Jacob Conway. Everybody's familiar with Jacob Conway by now. He's the guy who outed the two Democratic operatives, Sean Riley and Kurt Morrison, who continued lying, saying that, the Democratic Party keeps trying to disown him. Well, apparently, Jacob Conway decided to go ahead and resign. He said he wasn't forced to resign, had nothing to do with anything going on, but out of the goodness of his heart, he wants to resign so that the Democratic Party doesn't have to suffer for what's going on. And ironically, Bill Ryan, the chairman of the Louisville-Jefferson County Democratic Party, actually addressed that one in the media and said that, that the county party accepted Conway's resignation and all this other stuff. We couldn't get Bill Ryan to go public and make any kind of comment during this whole fiasco just a couple of weeks ago, even though he was hiding because he didn't want to talk about this, was scared to death anything he said was going to get him caught, and now he put out a statement. But, Conway says, he'd been thinking about resigning in part to focus on his business. I'm not going to give his business name because I don't think these guys are worth the garbage, him and his good buddy Justin Shelp, but that's not my – but. Now, all these things going on, but this just helped him make the final decision to leave early. What do you think about that? What a crock of garbage, right?
Well, I mean, it falls somewhat into and I don't know the inner workings. I don't know whether Jacob resigned of his own accord or whether he was about to be forced out or whether he was forced out. I don't know, but either way, I kind of look at it like Shanklin. It's like, okay, it was a mess. Let's face it. Anybody attached to this thing, this bugging, this eavesdropping, whatever you want to call it, on Mitch McConnell, it's turned into a huge mess. And if you're if you're fond of your political party or any organization, step away from it. Staying affiliated, it's not going to help your cause, and it's not going to help them. But to me, so sort of a non-news story. Sort of a non-event. I think when that much heat and smoke is being generated by an issue, naturally, if there's nothing to be gained from maintaining a relationship or anything like that with a party or a person, then you need to move on. Everybody needs to move on. So to me, a non-event, really.
Well, it's interesting to me only because, this is just another way, Conway says he's trying to save the party, and maybe he is. Jacob really, truly does live in a different world than most people do when it comes to that kind of stuff. He truly thinks he has the best interest of all these people at heart. But here's a guy that should have never been in that position in the first place. He's already pled guilty, got caught stealing money from the Commonwealth Attorney's Office, lost that job accordingly. Got caught stealing money from log cabin Republicans in 2005 when he was Republican. So here's a guy who's got two major criminal things on him, left the Republican Party, went to the Democratic Party, and they rewarded him and let him be involved in face-to-face encounters within the party. He's a vice LD, all these other things. And you've got to sit here and ask yourself, why? And then when you look at the idiocy of Sean Riley, Kurt Forsen, their ties to everybody, including, Jeff Noble, Bruce Ewing, Steve Magri, Brent Ackerson, blah, 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 blah. The whole list goes on and on. They all know each other. They all conspire together, and now he's going to do this out of good his heart. I don't buy it. But that's just me. But Jacob Conway should now stop being the story so that we can focus on the story, which was actually illegal recordings of a private conversation. Which brings me to this. This is another interesting thing. Allison,
but,
Lovigan,
I will say one thing about Jacob Conway is that when he, you know, when he outed the individuals that made the recording, I give him props for being honest. I mean, somebody, a reporter or somebody, asked him, "Hey, you know, do you know who it is?" He said, "Yeah."
Yeah.
In this day and age, you got to give a guy, whether you like the story, whether you like the circumstances surrounding it, I got to give him props for saying, you know, somebody asked him a direct question, and he said, "Yeah." He says, "They were bragging to me about it." I mean, he didn't go all Watergate and everything and close up and say, "Oh, no, I know nothing of it," you know.
Right.
You know, he does get props from me for that. It's like, wow. Just kaboom.
Well, that is Jacob. You know, for whatever reason. I mean, I'm glad the guy was honest, but he doesn't know how not to be in that case, which sounds kind of ironic. You're glad a guy was honest in this case, but he wasn't honest because he stole money and all this other stuff. You know, again, this is a guy who has a problem thinking through repercussions for actions, and this is a classic case of that. In the meantime, here's somebody who don't have a problem with thinking of repercussions for actions, and that's Allison Lundigan Grimes. Allison Lundigan Grimes is thinking about that for a minute, running against Senator Mitch McConnell for Mitch McConnell's Senator seat, and she's going to run as a Democrat, obviously. But, you know, when all of this broke, all these stories were there. We had all the evidence. Everything was clear-cut. The Progress Kentucky was a problem that these kids, and I call them kids because ain't no adult that stupid, but they went through and they did all this illegal stuff. Allison Lundigan Grimes refused to say anything negative against Progress Kentucky or anything to discount Sean Riley or Curtis Morrison. And it was conspicuous because by that time, Democratic Party leadership and everybody else had already decided to denounce these guys and try to act like they didn't exist. They distanced themselves as far away from this whole deal as they possibly could, but Allison Lundigan Grimes did not. Late last week, she finally decided to distance herself, if you will, from all of this. She made a statement that she does not have a relationship with Progress Kentucky. Then she tried to say that people were straining to attempt to fabricate one based on a two-year-old photo during a statewide campaign in which thousands of photos were taken. It was merely a continuation of the desperate and personally destructive tactics. Yawn, yawn, yawn. I'm sorry. It's putting me to sleep. But the reality is Allison Lundigan Grimes does know Sean Riley. She was talking about one photo that appeared to show her and Sean Riley together and says that was just during a statewide campaign. It was meaningless. Sean Riley spent his time going everywhere Allison Lundigan Grimes was and doing work on behalf of Allison Lundigan Grimes. Sean Riley can call her if he wants to, and she will take his phone call. So she's already trying to do this spin. Somebody in the Democratic Party got to her for not distancing herself from these guys. I think she was scared to until she had a chance to talk with Riley and Morrison, or at least Riley, and find a way to get herself distance from them, knowing that he wasn't going to go forward and nail her ass. That's my opinion. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. Let's say don't know the inner workings of what's going on, but yeah, it's definitely it was very awkward. I think it was it Joe Arnold that was interviewing her, and she wouldn't distance herself. And I, you know, you just got to look at that and think, are you really? Let's face it, you know, you're not talking about a George Soros-backed super PAC here. You're talking about a couple young folk with, $1,100 worth of super PAC money and, you know, a lot of enthusiasm. And that was about it. It's like, no. When this thing gets picked up on the national wire, when McConnell's turning it into, you know, quickly turning it into, you know, making a victim out of himself with it. It's, you know, when asked, yes, distance yourself quickly. I mean, you've run statewide races. You've been in politics. Your father's been in politics. You know, don't, you know, let go of that live wire. You know, toss it as fast as you can. And she didn't, beyond me, why she didn't. I really, you know, I sit there and I saw some of that. It's just like, really? You're lingering on that question. I mean, that's like, That's like having somebody say, oh, are you in favor of smashing puppy dogs in the head with hammers? Oh, well, let me think about that for a second. You know, I'm not going to say no. It's like, oh, really? You know, but yeah, I just don't understand why she didn't distance herself, because ultimately she did. So, I mean, maybe some regret. Maybe she didn't, she just didn't want to hop on and, you know, be, you know, throw everybody under the bus just like everybody else has, you know, trying to distance himself. Maybe there's an ethical streak in her somewhere that she just didn't want to pile on. That's always a possibility.
Well, there's no possibility here. This is all part of the machine. We've already proven all the relationships and how these guys interact and everything else. So there's no doubt this is a part of the Democratic cover-up. But it was really fascinating that Allison Leonard and Grimes refused to be part of the cover-up and decided just to basically act like she was friends with Riley and refuse to denounce it. And what was really interesting, too, is one of the questions she wasn't even asked about had to do with Mitch McConnell's wife, Elaine Chao. Progress Kentucky, of course, earlier this year, had been tweeting and everything else and writing and talking about Elaine Chao and this Chinese connection with Mitch McConnell. Now, don't get me wrong. When I have talked bad about Mitch McConnell in the past, when everybody was going after Bill Clinton for his Chinese connection, I also pointed out the fact that Mitch McConnell had the ultimate Chinese connection, because Elaine Chao's family is loaded, and if he wanted money, he could easily get it. So don't get me wrong, all right? I'm not hypocritical here. But these guys went out and tweeted and did all this other stuff attacking Elaine Chao, which I thought was distasteful in the context that they were doing it. You know, and Allison London and Grimes wasn't even asked about that, but she felt compelled to go ahead when she finally denounced herself and these guys for this. She brought up the Elaine Chao thing. What that tells me is she just sent us another sign, if you will, that she's involved in all this garbage with Riley, Progress, Kentucky, and everything else. Allison Lundigan Grimes has her own problems, and they will be divulged throughout this race. There is a lot there that this nice little sweet lady wants to convince everybody that she is not. And, of course, as usual, Louisville politics has led the way, and we've uncovered dirt on her, too. So I'll make sure that gets out when the time is right. You know, but it is interesting, and I tell you, that's just part of the equation with her. Be careful what you ask for in this world, folks, because you're going to get it. Finally, you know, well, let's take our half-hour break, man. We're running a little bit late.
All right.
We're going to have some Jack Conway stuff, everything else here in a minute. We want to take our bottom-of-the-hour break. Listen to the Ed Springsteen Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned, folks. We've got a lot going forward.
Oh. Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
love all the bitches, moaners, groaners, and whiners, because believe me, folks, they always bitch, groan, and moan enough to give you just enough information to get started on finding out what they're bitching, moaning, and groaning about. And then when you find out what they're bitching, moaning, and groaning about, you realize, hey, man, these guys are like canaries. They're birds that sing. And I use that to my advantage so well, because one thing a politician doesn't know how to do is keep their damn mouth shut. And they talk to too many people. If they knew where my sources were, they would be scared to death. But that's what I live with. Ed, going into break, we're talking about some local stuff. One more quickie we really got to put out there, Jack Conway. Jack Conway, of course, last Wednesday evening decided he was going to tell the world there's a good chance he's going to run for governor in 2015. Like we didn't know that already. Crit Llewellyn will not run against Jack Conway. Crit really doesn't want the job anyway. So that leaves Jack. Grimes is going to go after Mitch, so there's nobody that's going to run, which just told us one telling fact. Jerry Abramson knows he cannot win governor. And by the time I get through with Jerry Abramson in the next few months, he's going to be lucky if he's not in jail. Very, very lucky, to be honest with you. But so that tells us Abramson's not going to run. They're going to put all their eggs in Jack Conway's basket, or he would never put a statement out there like that. What do you think about Conway running for governor?
I think Conway will get his ass handed to him by Edlin. That's what
really?
I think. Yeah. I think if Edlin runs, Edlin has done more in a year than Conway's done in two terms. I think Adam Edlin, also knowing that, you know, Jack, he's won the attorney general, but he's somewhat of an embarrassment to the Democrat Party. I mean, he got beat by Ann Northrup.
Mm-hmm.
Then he turned around and got shellacked by Rand Paul.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I think additionally, Edlin is I think he's doing a good job as the auditor. I think he's and his his profile has been raised all across the state with some of the auditing he's doing, and most recently the Jefferson County Public Schools. But I just think, and let's not forget, he's this year's former chief of staff, so he's connected. I think he's connected. I think he's got a winning record. I think he's built a hell of a resume as the auditor. I think he's just already surpassed Crit Llewellyn. Edlin's the guy.
Well, Adam Edlin has done a good job as auditor, and you have to wonder almost, though, because of the Bashir connection and that kind of deal, if he hasn't been force-fed a lot of this stuff so they could build him up for political clout to go forward to the governor's race. The only thing about Adam Edlin that concerns me is just how inside-connected is he. Being part of that regime with Bashir and a few other people, that is a very, very serious concern. However, I will say this. With all the research that I've been doing, all these people that I'm outing, Adam Edlin has not come up as a primary figure at all. So that's a plus in my book. As far as Jack Conway, he is an embarrassment to the Democratic Party. But more importantly, he should be an embarrassment to all of Kentucky, and he should be an embarrassment to the legal system itself. How this guy is a lawyer or attorney general is beyond me. This guy is as dirty, in my opinion, as they come, and I've got some proof that we'll be using out there going forward. But if anybody wants to think about one thing that's a great public example that I had nothing to do with outing, let's look at his brother Matt Conway and him interjecting himself into that business, illegally, mind you, in my opinion, illegally interjecting himself into that. You've got insider information. He's involved pulling the strings to protect his brother. Of course, Dave Stengel, the Commonwealth attorney at the time, was nothing but a crook, always has been a crook, always will be a crook. You put all these things together, you can't just question Jack Conway because of his party links. You have to just question Jack Conway's integrity, his ethics, and his moral values. His moral values I'll outline to you guys later as part of this clique we've been talking about. But his ethics and his integrity are very much damaged over just the Matt Conway stuff. And I haven't done anything to put out there yet. So I don't think Conway has a shot in hell either. I do like Adam Edlin and the job he's doing as the auditor. I am just a little bit concerned just because of the Bashir connection. And that's the only thing that concerns me, but I agree with what you're saying on that. So let's see what happens with Jack Conway going forward. But remember, folks, he's not off the hook either, so we'll see what's going on here. There are other things going on, believe it or not. On a local level as well, the FAA, thanks to Gabe Bullard over WFPL, put this out last week. The FAA is fining UPS $4 million for not complying with federal safety rules. Now, I can tell you firsthand, I worked at UPS for 13 years. I was in management for most of it until the day I left there. I left there because of what I thought were illegal, corrupt practices at UPS that I didn't like. To say that these guys had safety violations is not a big problem for me to believe or stretch the imagination. I witnessed safety violations firsthand. It was amazing to me how we always knew when OSHA or anybody else was going to come in so we could clean things up. You buy that kind of favors, okay? This doesn't bother me. You know, but what does this do with Louisville being the UPS central hub facility and everything else? Does this really hurt UPS's image and their aircraft?
No. No. I mean, let's face it, it hasn't been that big of a story. I mean, and plus I think most people are going to look at it and say $4 million, well, you know, relative to the amount of business, the amount of freight they move, that's nothing. It's a slap on the wrist number for UPS, and it's not going to be widely reported because, you know, advertising dollars in the local media, they carry weight. I mean, I haven't seen it. Of course, I don't buy the Courier Journal anymore, but I didn't see them run all over it.
Right.
Just haven't seen much of it. Read it a little bit, and that was it. It came, it went, and no, won't hurt their image at all.
Well, what's really interesting about the whole story for me anyway is the fact that UPS signed an agreement with the FAA. This says they were supposed to comply. They were requiring UPS to check aircraft repairs against maintenance records, which to me is probably the simplest of procedures whenever you're in that line of business. Apparently, UPS had a problem with it. Again, no surprise here. I've seen how they operate firsthand. You know, but UPS didn't follow the agreement. If they had followed the agreement, the FAA says there would be no penalty. So essentially, I guess what I'm getting at is the $4 million is probably not a big deal to UPS. But what I'm really hoping here is this. I'm really hoping that at least it brings light to the fact that UPS is not this godlike company that Louisville leadership portrays them to be. I mean, they are nothing but a part-time employer that abuses their employees like nothing you've ever seen before, that doesn't follow necessarily all the guidelines they're supposed to follow for their workforce. So I hope that this puts a closer eye on UPS. Whether they're guilty or not, I don't care at this point. But if you get a closer eye on these guys, I think the world's going to be surprised by what they come up with. But one of my favorite stories coming out has to do with GE. I have been very, very critical of GE because of Jeffrey Immelt. I even went so far as to actually put a YouTube video together and put it up on our YouTube channel, Louisville Politics, because Jeffrey Immelt was Obama's jobs czar and eliminated over 30,000 jobs in the States and created those same 30,000 jobs over in China. And Obama, interestingly enough, has said that this is who he needs to show us how to create jobs in America, which turned out to be a big lie. Well, GE now has went to the next level as far as I'm concerned. You know, I know the GE union guys, they're already calling me and writing me because I posted a couple of things on Facebook about these clowns. But GE has decided that their finance arm will no longer do any financing or make any loans to gun shops. This is their way of responding to the Newton, Connecticut school shootings, is to stop loaning money to gun shop businesses. What do you think about that?
Well, on a business level, I don't think it's real bright because every time anything happens, gun shops are pretty hot places to be doing business right now. And from what I can tell, you really don't go in and buy anything for under $50, and you know that's just ammo. And if you buy anything more, you're spending over $1,000. So. You know, on that end, but on the other, you know, the other angle is, it's just, look, it's when did they start legislating morality through that? I mean, it's thank you very much, but you know, GE, you enjoy the same constitution the rest of us enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you get off on infringing on that? And then the last point being, so what? You know, city, Bank of America, pretty much anybody and everybody, you know, if they say, hey, your GE Capital card is not good here, it's like, yeah, that's okay. I'll pull out the American Express card. We're good. Like,
right.
Everything cool. You know, I'll pull out my, you know, pull out your PNC, your Fifth Third, whatever. It's like, okay, whatever. Your L&N Federal Credit Union. Who cares? So, I mean, it's sort of a non-event, but it's kind of silly. And I do think that, doubly ironic that, you know, they're saying, well, we won't do business with, you know, as it revolves around your Second Amendment rights, but we will take your bailout money. So,
well, there's a lot more to it than that for me.
That's the exact wing of GE. That is the exact division of GE that took one of the biggest bailouts and the biggest taxpayer underwrites, and now they're saying, well, screw you, taxpayers. If you want to purchase a gun type of taxpayer, we'll take the money. You'll underwrite our debt. We're not going to let you use your GE Capital card in a gun shop.
And see, and to me, that is a big problem because now GE is, you know, picking and choosing customers based on a legal product like that. Now, I understand different things with GE. I understand they've got the right to do their own business model, all that stuff. But to me, it's sort of discriminatory. To me, I think the argument can be made that it's discriminatory. You know, and you're not talking about big pictures here, folks. I mean, you know, GE Capital Loans, you know, it's almost like an American General Finance or one of these quick loan finance places here. It's a high interest, small loan, usually several hundred dollars to a couple of thousand. You know, so you're not dealing with a hell of a lot of money. But it's the idea behind it that they want you to go ahead and jump on board of this. But what was really more alarming to me than the story itself, because I thought this was wrong. I mean, GE is a corporate welfare citizen. GE gets millions of dollars back from the government each and every year. And as you mentioned a minute ago, they were one of the biggest people in the bailout. You got all this money that GE takes, our tax money that they take, and they call that profits. That's not profits. It's welfare. They take this money, they call it profits, and then they give it to their daggone people, their shareholders and their stockholders, all that good stuff. The problem really for me, this story is bad enough that GE wants to wants to regulate morality. But what was more fascinating was just putting a simple post on Facebook, if you will, on our Louisville Politics page there, you know, saying, you know, that you know, you should maybe boycott GE for this decision, you know, especially in lieu of, you know, the corporate welfare stuff, the jobs that Jeffrey Einmeld eliminated in the U.S., sent to China. But the union workers were all in an uproar. You want to cost good American jobs. Why do you want to cost GE jobs and put your good American jobs out of work? Well, here's the reality for those union guys. If these gun shops rely on GE Capital Loans for their customers to use to buy guns. They get that money. They employ people. If they lose business because these people can't borrow money to buy the guns, they have to lay people off and those people out of work. It was fascinating that the GE union workers were more concerned about their job and to hell with anybody else. That's the mindset. And that was more disturbing than this actual story itself. That's the only reason I really brought it up, because it's not a big story in the big picture. But when you look at the mindset of the workers, the union workers and GE and the thugs involved there, who cares about the other guy as long as I get mine? And that's always been the problem with unions.
Yeah. Well, I think it's not only that, but it'd be worth letting, you know, I can't say without looking into it a little bit, but I would say that the GE Capital, the finance arm of General Electric, I'm guessing is not union, probably, maybe. I could be wrong.
They're not.
But I would say that's probably a non-union division of General Electric, the larger company. So, you know, probably has nothing to do, you know, unless they're doing the financing for some of their appliances. Has nothing to do whatsoever with the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. Nothing. I could be wrong.
You're not. GE Capital is non-union. Most of your financing arms are non-union. Those are corporate jobs, so they're non-union jobs. It really is very interesting, though, the mindset that these people are snowballed into. My job is important, but your job's not. You know, my family's important, but your family's not. I mean, that's the thing. And it really, truly, it kind of, to some degree, shows you the bigger problem and the bigger picture in America. It's all about me, 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 not about us, us, us. And that's how these politicians are able to succeed based on that division. I just thought that was a pretty interesting story just because of that. It really wasn't a big deal until the backlash started. And you've got to look at that, and it's like, wow, these selfish, individualistic little bastards. I mean, that's the way I look at it. You know, a true union cares about everybody. And I don't see a true union today. But moving on, Ed, here's one you're going to love. I know you're going to love it because you just love all this federal stuff. Apparently, the Army Chief of Staff was meeting with the Armed Services Committee, and a senator decided to tell him he didn't have a clue what he was doing, that the Army was wasting money and didn't know how to take care of their money. Well, Army Chief of Staff says, hey, guess what? Sit your ass down. Guy made the statement, tried to walk out of the room. And he told him to sit down. You know, and here's why. One of the examples he brought up, since they wanted to go down that road, the Armed Services Committee wanted to go down that road, and these politicians want to make this big play in front of the American people on C-SPAN, he flat out told him, you know, if you're so damn worried about our spending, why are we being forced to spend $436 million buying an Abrams tank that we don't need and don't want? You heard me right, folks. You heard me right. Politicians are forcing these guys to sit here and buy Abrams tanks that are outdated, not needed, or anything else, and they're forcing the Army to pay for these things and take them because, if there's a home of the Abrams tank, it's Ohio. It's the nation's only tank plant is in Lima, Ohio. And naturally, Representative Jim Jordan and Senator Rob Portman are the ones behind this with Democrat Sherrod Brown. You know, this is pure pork barrel spending at its best. How did they justify that, Ed, and then try to blame an Army Chief of Staff?
Well, it's a bunch of bloviating politicians is what it is. They're going to grandstand. They're going to use it for a sound bite. You know, a local paper that they think they've got in the back pocket or something that's going to pick it up and say, oh, look at our tough guy, congressman or senator, going at it. Well, in fact, you're right. The real reason they do, you know, that they force the Army to do that is because it represents jobs in their district. And I've read before, and it could be factual, it could be close to factual or not, but it's been said that military contractors, there is not a single congressional district in the entire nation that does not have a major employer that's part of the military-industrial complex, whether it's software, hardware, or ammo, or chemicals, or services, or anything.
Sure.
So they've got you. No matter who you are, no matter what district you are from, no matter what state you are from, there is a major military-industrial complex employer in your district.
Right.
They don't even have to give you money. All they have to do is look at you and say, hey, listen, you know, we can close that down and move those jobs somewhere else. So just stand up and spend money, fool.
Well, here's the thing. When the Defense Department itself, the Army Chief of Staff, these guys have all the technical knowledge, they have all the experience, everything you need to make a decision, has said we don't need $436 million because we no longer need an Abrams tank. Get rid of it. At the same time, we're talking about federal spending. Remember, we have this so-called sequester out there, right? According to the sequester, $42 billion has to be shaved from the Pentagon's budget by the end of September, period. The military itself has to shave $487 billion in defense spending over the next 10 years. That's part of the Budget Control Act that we passed in 2011. So here you've got $436 million on a shelf that's not needed. The Army is saying, we don't need this. Take it. We don't need tanks. But you got Jordan and a few other people in Ohio that say, oh, no, we got to have them. Because we got 700 people that work in these tank plants. So they got to keep their jobs. As long as they keep their jobs, I get to keep mine. If they're held accountable to the same standard everybody else in America is held accountable, I'll lose my job. And it's not right for me to lose my job, so let me spend $436 million.
Go cut somebody else's jobs in somebody else's district, but buy the tanks, even though you don't want them, because, they're mine.
Sure. Sure, you know, and that's exactly it. And, of course, don't forget General Dynamics. General Dynamics is the ones who own all this crap. General Dynamics spent $11 million lobbying last year to keep this damn thing that nobody wants, including the Army. General Dynamics is one of the biggest, you know, military contractors there are. So here we've got a documented, easy-to-figure-out case of misuse of American taxpayer funds and misuse of public trust because a congressman wants to keep his job. Now, I don't know how much more you need in America to show how dysfunctional our government really is. He wants to spend $436 million to keep 700 jobs building a tank that we don't need and don't want. What else can be said about that, Ed?
I'm in a lot. I mean, you know, it's like a lot of experimental aircraft. It's like a lot of stuff. The politicians force stuff down the military's throat. I mean, the military, it is. It's bloated. There's no question about it. The politicians overextend the military as well.
Right.
No doubt when they get them overextended and spread out all over the world, there's money to be made. You know, providing infrastructure and meals and things and services for the soldiers. So it is a big, big part of the economy, unfortunately. But yeah, when the military finally says, "Hey, we don't want it," you know, come on, guys,
right?
Take it for what it's worth. All right, you know, it's like let's reinforce this behavior. Let's reinforce the military sort of self proving itself. It's like, hey, we don't need them. We're good. Seriously, let them do it. But I mean, it's got to be maddening for the guys that are, you know, that are in the military, especially the upper management of the military, the brass, is when they actually say, "Hey, we don't want it," and somebody says, "Well, you're going to take it anyway," and it's like, "Oh, jeez," you know. Every day, somebody's throwing a number up about, you know, how much of the federal debt we spend, you know, deficit is caused by military spending, this, that, and the other. And guys got to be thinking, "Geez, actually try to not spend money." And then one of the guys who's busting my chops about spending money tells me I have to spend money. You know, hello, dysfunction. You're right.
And just to prove a point, I continue making that this is not a conservative-leaning site, that we really are bipartisan because we get sick of the uniparty destroying everything. Here's one for you. Representative Jim Jordan, who's making this decision along with Senator Rob Portman, are two of Capitol Hill's most prominent conservative leaders. And then, of course, Democratic Senator Sherrod Brown is with them. Sherrod Brown will just go wherever he can get paid from. So, you know, this is a bipartisan situation. You got Democrat and Republicans both standing together saying, we want to spend $436 million to keep 700 people happy so we can get votes. I mean, that's exactly what they're doing. It's an insult to American intelligence and everything we're going, but, hey, what can we do? Ed, final thoughts.
Well, final thoughts. You know, I want to not be on the show tomorrow because I got to go make money and, of course, pay taxes if I have a chance to make any money. But, you know, I think people just need to get – they need to stay cynical. It's as I get there a lot of times. And, you know, I avoid the conspiracy – and we were talking about that the other night. It's conspiracy theories versus, you know, when I was looking at one of the other guests. And, no, I said sometimes I think it's just it's a certain kind of dysfunction that when you repeat it enough times, it looks like a conspiracy. And – no, I think that's what the last story illustrates. Is there a conspiracy amongst the military-industrial complex, or is it some sort of weird dysfunction that, you know, it's built the way it is, and everybody wants to gore everybody else's ox, so nobody's ox gets gored in the end, and we get bankrupted. Is it a conspiracy, or is it just a collection of a bunch of short-sighted and undisciplined and I want to say cowardly in a lot of cases, politicians and bureaucrats looking out to preserve their job. You know, it's things like stories like that that made me think, no, it's not a conspiracy. It's just idiocy. That's all it is. And people need to get sarcastic about it. People need to get fed up about it. And they need to get indignant about it because, again, that story is not a big headline story. It probably should be.
Well, and I think that's ultimately the problem. You know, we want to continue dividing people along lines that we really don't control, all the divisive social issues and all the other garbage that the parties use to keep everybody separated. However, you know, while we're sitting here arguing over silly stuff that the Supreme Court decides on, like abortions, for example, gay marriage, for example, all these other things that don't concern us in a day-to-day life, these little deals and these little things are being done behind our back. $436 million doesn't sound like a lot of money when you're dealing with trillions of dollars. However, how many times does $436 million have to add up to be a large amount of money? When you're talking about the budget cuts due to the sequester and the billions that we have to cut, this is a prime example of what's wrong with Washington politicians. It's all about them and not about us. And then, of course, you know, you get into the local history and everything that we've been outlining at LouisvillePolitics.com, the relationship with the Democrats, you get into the to the gay sexual pedophiles, and I use that term intentionally. Don't think for one second that I have a problem with gay people. I don't. I fight for their rights every day. But, you know, when you get into sexual pedophilia, these are all part of an underground club, and they have this one thing in common. That's disturbing. That's disturbing. So, you know, politicians need to be held accountable. And for the life of me, you don't see stories like the Abrams tank or the stories we've been putting out from mainstream media because they refuse to hold them accountable anymore. And that's probably the most alarming thing of all. That's it for tonight. Ed Martin, you will not be here tomorrow night, so I guess I will talk to you next week. You know,
yes,
be careful, be safe in your endeavors. I know you got a lot going on. For the rest of you guys, you know what? Enjoy. We'll talk to you tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow night we'll probably do a little bit of open line work. Why not? We don't get a chance to do it very often. So tomorrow night we'll get into some issues you guys want to talk about, so make sure you call in. In the meantime, that's it for tonight. That's a wrap. Mr. Martin, have a great night, and we will see you folks later. Take care. All right. Take care, folks.